were talking to Byron for Lime. But in Holland, in Europe, you guys were rock stars. So eventually you had to come back home.
Yeah. But then everybody moved away. Alan moved to Texas or somewhere. And Roger moved to Arizona. Roland White was playing with his band. After Clarence got killed, we teamed up with Roland, who played with Country Gazette for quite a while.
Yes, he did.
And he lived in Nashville. And so we were just so separated. And I was missed out on a lot of session work at the time. I thought, you know, I think I better go on down the road. And by that time, I'd met John Hickman and Dan Cray had already moved out to California. There's a professor at Cal State Fullerton. And I always wanted to play some with him because I loved his, what he played fiddle tunes on the guitar. And, of course, he's a great guitar player anyway, but especially his fiddle tunes.
I didn't know he was a professor. I had no idea that.
Yeah, speech communication, that was his field.
No kidding.
And So
how did you run across Hickman then?
Alan Mundy, we had heard about him, and we heard he was playing the Caves with his brother and a guy named Strauss Hamlin, who was a mandolin player. And so we went to the Caves and listened to him, and I thought, man, this cat can play well. So I went back and introduced myself to him, and I said, we need to jam sometime together. And he was working at Builder's Emporium 6 blocks away from my house in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh.
Nobody knew he even existed out there and until this point. And I said, well, so we got to jamming and got to know each other. And when I decided to leave Country Gazette, I called him up and said, you want to do some playing or just whatever for whatever? And so we got together and started jamming around, and then Dan Cray came in, and then a couple of other guys that I had listened to and met that I thought were really good, Jack Skinner and Alan Wald, Alan was another guitar player and played steel and played banjo, played a lot of different things, but great guitar player. And Jack Skinner is a good singer and bass player and songwriter. So we got together and started messing around, and we cut a tape just in Jack's garage, that little 4-track TAC tape recorder, and we cut about 7 or 8 songs, and this guy heard us singing at this little pumpkin festival out in Calabasas area, California, and he said, you guys have a recording contract? I said, no, so I can get you one. I said, great. So he did. He got us with NCA. He got us a really good deal, and so that was the beginning of Sundance.
Now, see, that name I'm just not familiar. Every other name we're talking about, I know, but Sundance, I don't remember them.
Yeah, well, we did the one album on MCA, and our lead singer, Jack Skinner, and songwriter, he quit because he says, I've never been in the band more than a year. I went, oh, great. So we're looking around, and we had this guy named Vince Beale.
Okay.
I heard him.
There you go.
And take his spot. And that was immediately I knew he was going to be a big star someday, just didn't know how long it'd take him. But anyway, he played with us about 3 years and went on to Pure Prairie League.
Yeah, right here, local to me. Yeah, I'm in that part of the country, and they were a big deal around here.
But then I kept Sundance, and then various people came in and out of that, and then the urban cowboy thing came in real big, and we were starting to do more country music, and Steve Spurgeon joined the band. He was in, he played drums with us, and Rick Kuna, and Skip Conover played lap steel and dobro, and Pete Wasner played piano, who now plays with Vince, plays piano, been with Vince a long time, piano player. But anyway, I kept doing that on and off, and formed a group called the L.A. Fiddle Band.
And that band, I don't know at all. You're going to have to fill me in on that.
No, you wouldn't know. Yeah. We did a couple of albums, like on Tacoma. We did a live album at McCabe's, and Vince sang on some of it with us. And this is at 1979, 80, somewhere in there. We did all that. And I did that for quite a while. And then finally, Sundance, you know, Dan was the original member, and John Hickman, so we were asked to go to Japan, but they couldn't afford all the band, so they just wanted the three of us to go. So the three of us went over, and we found out it was fun, just the three of us playing together. So we did that for 11 years.
Oh, okay.
As a trio.
All right.
and you know, did all kind of festivals and this and that and the other. Then we decided, you know, we need to beef up our vocals, so we hired Steve Spurgeon to come in and play bass and sing. And then ended up getting John Moore to come in later, and we ended up calling the band. She started doing all our names, sound like a big law firm, you know. We're like Ray Hickman, Spurgeon, Moore. We didn't want to do that, so we called ourselves California.
Okay, good enough. All right, that makes sense. not that I have
a
problem.
And that lasted from 94 till I left to move here. And we still get together once in a while as Californians, but very seldom.
So you now, you still have an I Have in front of me. I guess this is the newest one, Swingin', the Byron.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. And this has some, you have some guests on this, and you have your own band now. And this is more, when I listen to this, it's more of the Texas swing sound. Am I correct?
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what we wanted to do with it. Because, you know, it's not your typical Western swing CD, because it didn't have a steel in it or electric guitar or anything. It's just, you know, we borrowed Jerry Douglas, played a little dobro here and there, and we had a local piano player who we really liked, Dennis Brisky, and we do a Western Swing show every year in May. We have a big dance and show, and Leon Roush comes and sings with us, and so he was nice enough to sing on a couple of songs on our album. I love his version of Misery.
Yeah.
He kills that.
This is a good album. I mean, I wouldn't know where to begin to try to play it and find a spot for all of it. I mean, I'm not talking about your album. It'll get on the air here. But, I mean, it's Texas Swing. Every time I hear it, I think, I need to hear more of that. And I guess the more recent, someone my age, you know, everybody remembers Asleep at the Wheel kind of did a revival of that old sound in a popular sense. They were probably the most popular, but it's such a neat sound. It's such a fun. There's just something fun about that. I guess it's the swing part of it that kind of catches you up a little bit.
Well, you know, it really related a lot to bluegrass in a way. A lot of blues influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bob Wills incorporated a lot of blues, so does Bill Monroe. And a lot of twin fiddles, you know. It's just,
okay,
it's just a rhythm that changes the whole thing.
Yeah.
Although we did, I did Warm Red Wine when I heard that, and that's a Cindy Walker song. I think that's just bluesy bluegrass.
Yeah, oh, you're right.
So I recorded that and just made it bluegrass, really. You know, if you listen to it, it's just could be, you wouldn't categorize it as a swing. It's just a bluegrass song.
There's a lot of great
playing. The rest of it's pretty swingy.
There's a lot of great playing on this album. This is the 2000. This is on Double Stop Music. Now, I know you have a fiddle shop called Double Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a label? Is this a label that you have then?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we do all our albums in house here. Our engineer is Steve Short, our drummer. He's a recording engineer and probably one of the better verse musicians in the band, actually. But you know, we're lucky to have him, and he does all the recording.
Well, I think the basic assumption is always correct, that wherever you find Byron, there's going to be great musicians around, and this is just full of great music. I mean, I tend to gravitate toward instrumental stuff, because it's just something that singing I don't relate to, because I can't sing, but it's all great. But I mean, but the instrumentation alone on this album is just really nice and just really fits together well, and I really enjoy that a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Now let's talk.
I like it.
Yeah, I do. I appreciate it. Now let's talk about also on Double Stop Music is this Jamming with Byron, and you just got everybody on the planet on this one, and that is. Let's talk about what you were aiming for on that one, because I enjoy that also.
Well, I love to write songs, you know, and write tunes. I do it. I've got about 40 of them in the can right now. Some really pretty cool tunes that I haven't even, I don't know when that'll be released, but anyhow, I'm just jamming with Byron. I had a lot of my own tunes, and of course I did some old ones also, some older old-time numbers, and I just thought different guys I like to play with, and who were available, I thought to throw them in there, and just, I enjoy jamming with different people anyway. I enjoy jamming, and so it just kind of fell into place, and I was lucky to get some of the good banjo players, you know.
Oh, the people added one, and I love liner notes, so the people added into that is just goes on and on and on and on. A lot of the people we've already talked about show up in this recording.
Right.
Yeah. How long? Oh, let me ask you this then. Okay, recording time, the swinging with the Byron Berline band versus versus jamming with Byron. How long does it take to do the swinging? Is the recording time about the same?
Oh, well, I had quite a few more tunes on jamming, but I don't know. It just everybody's schedule is what it boils down to, and of course we all rely on Steve Short, our engineer, to get everything together and when he's available, and so it really wouldn't take all that long to put it all together. But I mean, it drags out probably. You know, I think we did the swinging thing in about 6 months total time.
I guess I was thinking that the jamming thing would just be more more fluid and maybe be recorded quicker. And for some reason, I'm thinking this whole swing sound in the swinging album would be more, I don't know, I want to think of more structured or more parts that have to be, not that they weren't handled perfectly, but it seems to me that would be more difficult to do recording-wise.
Yeah.
And I could be, I have no idea what I'm talking about. It seems to me that the jamming thing would be a more natural thing, as you describe. You love the jam and...
Yeah,
you know, get one.
Well, the
going.
Swinging thing. Greg Burgess, the other fiddle player that plays on there, he grew up with Western swing, and so he's that's his
people. Okay.
And Richard Sharp, our the bass player.
Okay.
They're and as you could tell, our rhythm section is excellent.
Yeah.
You know, because of the bass and drums and guitar, and Greg Burgess plays this. He's a really great swing. Guitar rhythm player, knows all those chords and knows where to put them and so forth, and so that makes a big difference. And then we just have to arrange it, you know, to get a figure out the fiddles and where to put, which I did a lot of that.
Okay.
Not everybody did, but
let me ask you this real quick: as I'm holding both of these things and flipping them around, the back cover of Jammin' with Byron, I recognize where you are and who you are. Who are the other people, if you know, standing around you in that?
Well, that's my dad looking right, kind of right behind me, and my Royce Campbell. This is a jam session we did at Weezer, Idaho, at the Washington Hotel in about 1965, probably, or 6.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. And Dwayne Youngblood standing over to the left. Bill Mitchell, there's a fiddler from Mississippi. He was a sheriff. And all these guys are all passed on now, you know. And I was a young guy then, you know, back in those days, and the older fiddlers I really looked up to. And I went just to 2010, and I realized I'm the old guy now. I just hit, and I said, oh, my gosh, I'm the old guy now.
Do you have as many pictures?
I've been there in 40 years.
Oh, well.
The last time I competed in a contest, and that was at Weezer.
Well, it's nice that you got this old picture, and I don't know that you have to have all the new ones with you being the old guy, but this other picture is pretty cool with this kind of... And
yeah.
Then on the front, it's you and, I'm going to say, who?
Grandson.
I read that inside, but I wanted you to say who it was, because he's the...
Yeah, my grandson. He's a... Well, my daughter took that picture. I thought it was a perfect...
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a... You couldn't pose for a picture like that.
No, it's just like you and him. Is he learning to play?
He's hopefully he'll get the guitar, he'll get the whatever. And I got two other granddaughters now that are will do anything he does, so hopefully they'll all start playing.
Oh, great! Isn't that a neat feeling to know that your dad played and that you learned, and this is being passed on? I just think that's a remarkable thing. It's just
it's not that they won't be around; that they'll be subject to it for sure. You know,
yeah.
So.
All right. Well, so all right. So we've talked about these albums, and you have and the Double Stop Music name is also the name of a fiddle shop that you have. And where's that?
Right. Yeah, here in downtown Guthrie. I collected all these instruments when I moved out to California. You know, when I was living out there, and I dealt out of my garage and swapped and traded and bought and sold and this and that and the other. And I thought, you know, it'd be great to have a shop, just to have a place where people come in and hang out and play and try out instruments. And so that's really the reason I moved back to Oklahoma, so
okay.
We have that availability. We bought a building downtown Guthrie and moved all my instruments in there and had a neat place upstairs for a concert. the Masonic Lodge. It used to be a Masonic Lodge.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
All, so I had to redo it all, you know, and it was, it turned out really nice. Just be, 96 was the first year we started playing music upstairs. And then 97, I started the Bluegrass Festival here in Guthrie. The Oklahoma's International Bluegrass Festival, we get groups from, you know, from traveling to Europe, the way we talked about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, about, and every country has a bluegrass band. And so I've been to Europe many times, in Japan, and all over the world pretty much. And I remembered all these bluegrass bands and stuff, and they, so a lot of them love to come to the United States for the first time to hear bluegrass. Their mentors and people they've listened to, and then be able to play themselves. So it's a cool deal.
Isn't that amazing how those little, those bands, and they're good. A lot of them that'll come here, I assume, are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're really good. The only one that I really know of personally is Red Wine.
Right.
Out of Italy.
I've had them several times at our festival. And Japanese bluegrass bands are really great. People love them. And Germany, you know, had all kinds of people from all over the world and to come in and play bluegrass. Or, you know, Tommy Emmanuel's been there several times. I really enjoy his playing.
Oh, yeah. Now, what and, so it's not just bluegrass, although he could certainly play
bluegrass. No, it's not straight bluegrass.
Okay.
I mean, 90% of it is, but I've had the Texas Playboys. I've had John Jorgensen, his jazz band, playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh. You name it. I mean, it's different. You know, I like to mix it up.
Now, when, is that in the summer then?
Yeah, it's off first weekend of October.
Okay, okay. And, how, and is that year. Is it close to where Double Stop the store is, or just it happens to be located?
Mine's downtown. We used to have our festival downtown for the first few years, and we decided to move it all down to this campground, a 52-acre campground, just west of Guthrie, just over the railroad tracks, and there it is. It's a big park. So,
nice.
And we have stages and big tents, and then it's outdoor deal, you know, and camping is right there. So it's a lot of fun for everybody.
So Byron Berline with his fiddle travels the world, lives in different parts of the country, and then brings it all back home to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I guess.
there's some poetry in that. I mean, you know, of all the experience that you had, and now it's all right back where you started out, sort of.
Right.
That's neat. And
we're very happy here.
And
enjoy it, the small town atmosphere. And everybody knows everybody. And Oklahoma has been very good to me since I moved back. And I just, I don't know, I appreciate them very much. And plus sports, my wife and I are big sports fans. And we're OU, of course.
Oh,
University,
sure.
Oklahoma.
Sure.
That's where I went to school. She went to school there, too. And so it's fun to come back to see all our, I call them cellmates, you know, from years ago. Football players, track guys. And I played golf with my track coach, J.D. Martin. He was my track coach.
Really?
He's only a few years older than me, but he was a great athlete himself. He's a decathlon guy back in the 60s. He had the world-ending record in the pole vault at one time.
Really?
And so he and I play golf together now. Whenever we can.
Do they still throw the javelin at OU track team?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Big time, yeah. My record didn't last too long.
I was going to say, did you have one, and how long did it last?
No, it lasted a while.
That's good.
Some football player came up, and a guy named Franklin, Willie Franklin, came up and broke it. But that's what they're made for.
Yeah, but you know what? Willie Franklin can't play fiddle, so.
No. I guess not.
Well, Byron, this is and you have a website. People can look you up on and get a lot of this information, where you are and what you're doing with your store and the recordings.
Right, doublestop.com.
Yeah, that's a great name. I bet you were happy you could reserve that one, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
Herb Peterson helped me get that name.
Did he?
And I was trying to figure out a name for a publishing company. He says, "Why don't you use Doublestop?" That's a good idea.
I was, just only because you mentioned this, I was talking to Herb, let's see, what time is it now? 3 hours ago.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, Herb has been on the show before, and he's going to come back on, and I said, well, I'm talking to I said, Herb, let's work out another thing, because he just did that album. John Jorgensen and him have a really cool album out now called J2B2, and it's all bluegrass with John and Herb.
Right, their agent. I may try to get them this year. I don't know.
Oh, that would be great. If you did that, I would come to Oklahoma if I was open that time.
All right.
To watch it. And so, but he said, I did this. I'm from Kentucky, born and bred. I'm about a half a generation from being a hillbilly. And I was saying, and you'll understand this, I was saying, oh, Herb, yeah, we could do it tonight. But I said, I'm talking to Byron Berline. And he said, it's Berline. And I know that emphasis on that first syllable is just my raising here in Kentucky that we just, it's same
well,
as.
Bill would call me Barn Berline. He never could say Byron too much.
Well. Could say Byron. Well, that's Kentucky,
Barn.
Too.
Hey,
Barn. Oh, man, this has been a blast. Byron, thanks so much for sharing this time with me, man. This has just been a treat. I think the people will really enjoy it. Man, I got to get out to Oklahoma sometime. It's been a while. I've been there, but it's not been for a music festival.
Well, you need to come and visit.
I'll do it.
Well, come to the festival if you can.
I will, man. I'll find a way out there. Just head west and keep driving.
There you go.
All right, Byron. Gosh, this has been a blast, Byron Berline. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, man. Take care.
Okay.
All right, see you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again, Byron Berline. Wonderful time, the opportunity to talk with him and just get a snippet. That's a small part of what he's experienced in his musical life. Byron Berline, A Fiddler's Diary, may fill you in a little bit more. But so much fun and so much history, and I'm just amazed at all the things that happened